The Watchtower, Study Edition, March 2026. This article will be studied during the week of May 4th through 10th. Improve your art of teaching in the ministry. Theme text: Preach the word with all patience and art of teaching. 2 Timothy 4:2. Song 53, Preparing to Preach. Focus. Three ways we can improve our teaching ability in the ministry.
Paragraph 1, Question. What skill should we want to develop and why?
Jesus told his followers, "Make disciples, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you." Matthew 28:19-20. This instruction indicates that all Christians should be teachers.
True, Jehovah draws those who are rightly disposed, and the angels play a role in directing us to such ones.
Still, we need to do our part. Consider the example set by the apostles Paul and Barnabas. The Bible relates that when they preached in the synagogue in Iconium, they spoke in such a manner that a great multitude of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Acts 14:1. No doubt, Paul and Barnabas had developed the art of teaching.
2 Timothy 4:2 reads,
"Preach the word, be at it urgently, in favorable times and difficult times. Reprove, reprimand, exhort, with all patience and art of teaching."
All Christians would do well to cultivate that art.
The picture for paragraph 1 shows Paul speaking with conviction in a synagogue as people listen intently. Nearby, Barnabas joyfully observes Paul teach. The picture caption reads, "We can learn much about the art of teaching from the examples set by Jesus and his disciples, such as the apostles Paul and Barnabas." Paragraph 2, Question. Why might some Christians feel that they cannot improve their teaching skills?
Some may feel that they cannot improve their teaching skills because they have limited secular education or natural ability. Some men mentioned in the Bible also felt inadequate. Others may feel discouraged about their teaching ability because they do not seem to get the positive results that others do. Of course, not everyone we speak to or meet will respond positively to the good news, and the results we obtain do not depend entirely on our efforts. As mentioned, Jehovah and the angels see to it that honest-hearted ones are found. Still, we want to do our best to present our message in an appealing way. To help us, this article will discuss three ways we can improve our art of teaching in the ministry. Care about your listeners.
Paragraph 3, Question. Why was Jesus able to touch the hearts of his listeners?
The Bible says that Jesus knew what was in man. John 2:25. This phrase conveys the meaning that Jesus knew how people thought and what their motives were. Jesus was able to touch the hearts of his listeners because he understood their needs. He could see that people were spiritually malnourished and that they were oppressed by countless traditions and man-made rules. Jesus addressed those very issues in his Sermon on the Mount. Many people were drawn to Jesus because he spoke about matters that affected them personally.
Paragraph 4, Question. How can we show that we care about people?
We can show that we care about the people we meet by trying to understand their concerns. Every person we preach to is in some way affected by Satan's corrupt system. Bearing that in mind can help us to empathize with the people in our territory. For example, is there a recent news event that might concern those in our territory? Are parents worried about the safety of their children at school? Is unemployment common? Try to imagine what life is like for people as they face these critical times without the hope that the Bible offers.
The picture collage for paragraph 4 shows a sister preparing for the ministry by thoughtfully reflecting on the circumstances of the people in her territory. A mother protectively holds her young son while a man threatens them with a raised fist. A young woman smokes a cigarette. An elderly woman receives bad news from a doctor regarding her health. The picture caption reads, "Try to understand the circumstances of those you teach and learn to care about them." Paragraph 5, question: as a teacher, how did Jesus differ from the Pharisees?
Jesus cared about his listeners, and they could see this in the way that he treated them. How different he was from the Pharisees, who looked down on the common people and viewed them as contemptible. But Jesus treated people with kindness and respect. He was mild-tempered and lowly in heart, and that contributed to his being an effective teacher.
Matthew 11:28-30 reads,
"Come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am mild-tempered and lowly in heart, and you will find refreshment for yourselves. For my yoke is kindly, and my load is light."
We too should treat our listeners with kindness and respect.
Paragraph 6, question: how can we show kindness and respect to those who reject or oppose our message?
Some reject or even oppose our message. How should we respond? Jesus instructed us to do more than simply tolerate opposition. He said to do good to those hating you, to bless those cursing you, and even to pray for those who are insulting you. Luke 6:27-28. That will be easier for us to do if we give those who reject our message the benefit of the doubt. Granted, some are outright opposers. However, others may be distressed by a family problem or anxious about a situation that has nothing to do with us. Perhaps we simply called on them in a bad time. In all cases, we should follow the admonition to let our words always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that we will know how we should answer each person. Colossians 4:6. If we have empathy for people and try to understand their needs, we will be less inclined to take offense, and we may be better teachers. Rely on God's Word.
Paragraph 7, question: how did Jesus show that he relied on God's Word when teaching?
Jesus did not rely on his own knowledge. His teaching was based on God's Word, which he applied in ways that his audience could easily grasp and remember. The Bible tells us that Jesus taught as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The people were astounded by that. Mark 1:22. To support their teachings, the scribes in Jesus' day would quote highly respected rabbis. In contrast, Jesus freely quoted from the inspired scriptures. As the Son of God who previously lived in heaven, he could have used his vast wisdom to impress his listeners and even overwhelm them. But he did not. Instead, he centered his teaching on God's will and word.
John 7:14-16 reads,
"When the festival was half over, Jesus went up into the temple and began teaching. And the Jews were astonished, saying,
'How does this man have such a knowledge of the scriptures when he has not studied at the schools?'
Jesus in turn answered them and said,
'What I teach is not mine, but belongs to him who sent me.'"
Jesus set an outstanding example for his followers.
Paragraph 8, question: how did the Apostle Peter follow Jesus' example?
Jesus' disciples, too, relied on God's word when teaching. For example, consider the speech the Apostle Peter gave on the day of Pentecost 33 CE. Peter was not a highly educated man, yet he touched the hearts of his listeners with his scriptural explanation of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. The result? Those who gladly accepted his word were baptized, and on that day about 3,000 people were added. Acts 2:41.
Paragraph 9, question. When we teach, why should we rely on God's word?
There is no better tool to reach our listeners' hearts than the word of God. Therefore, we need to focus on the Bible when teaching. We want to preach the word, not our own ideas. 2 Timothy 4:2. Proverbs 2:6 says, Jehovah himself gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and discernment. So when we teach from the scriptures, we are, in a sense, letting Jehovah speak. We want people to know that the Bible contains something far superior to human wisdom. It is inspired of God and imparts knowledge that we need to acquire in order to please our Creator and live a happy, fulfilling life.
Paragraph 10, question. How can we direct a Bible student's attention to God's Word?
As you prepare to conduct a Bible study, find ways to direct your student's attention to what the Bible teaches. Your student should understand that while pictures and videos can enhance our learning, the Bible is the main textbook. So look up key texts and help your student reason on them. When referring to pictures and videos, make sure that the student understands the fundamental Bible principles that are being taught. You do not need to say very much or to read a great many scriptures to accomplish that. Instead, give the student time to absorb the meaning of each one that is read, even rereading a scripture if necessary. In that way, we will truly be conducting not a book study or a picture study or a video study, but a Bible study.
Paragraphs 11 and 12, question A. How can we be patient with our Bible students? Question B. What might some not realize about the Bible, and how might we help them?
If your student finds a point difficult to accept, remember to preach the word with all patience. Not everyone progresses at the same rate. Some students may need extra time to grasp truths that we take for granted. Paul had to witness to the Jews in Thessalonica on several occasions, reasoning with them from the scriptures, before some of them understood the point.
Acts 17, 1-4 reads,
They now traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. So according to Paul's custom, he went inside to them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving by references that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, saying,
This is the Christ, this Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you.
As a result, some of them became believers and associated themselves with Paul and Silas. And so did a great multitude of the Greeks who worshipped God, along with quite a few of the principal women.
Another way we can show patience is by drawing out students with questions and by resisting any urge we might have to talk a lot. Try to listen carefully and understand their thinking. Then read and discuss specific scriptures to help them understand God's thinking on the matter. Also, consider this. Some people are completely unfamiliar with the Bible and have no idea what it contains. Would it be helpful to show them a printed Bible? You could refer to an Introduction to God's Word, located in the front of the New World Translation, to convey the wealth of information found in the Bible. You might then illustrate the practical value of the content by using one or two scriptures listed under question 15 to explain how the Bible can help us find happiness. In short, If you show your Bible students the power of God's Word, your teaching will be more effective.
The picture for paragraphs 11 and 12 shows the sister from the preceding image conducting a Bible study on an outdoor bench with a young woman who was smoking. The sister listens attentively as the woman expresses herself. The picture caption reads, "A skillful teacher is mainly a listener, not a talker."
Focus on Jehovah.
Paragraph 13, question. When we teach, to whom should we direct attention? Illustrate.
Our goal is to help our listeners to get to know Jehovah and to draw close to Him. In that regard, we can compare our work to that of a lighting technician in a theater. During the show, he does not shine the light on himself. Rather, he directs it toward the main characters, ensuring that they are in the spotlight. When we teach, we should do the same. Focus attention on Jehovah, not on ourselves.
Paragraph 14, question. How can we help our student focus on Jehovah?
When conducting a Bible study, help your student develop the desire to please Jehovah. You are not merely trying to get your student to conform to a code of conduct, as if he or she were joining a club. You want your student to make changes in order to please Jehovah. For example, if your student is struggling to overcome a bad habit, ask him such questions as, "Why does Jehovah hate this practice? Why would Jehovah require that you give up something you enjoy? How does this requirement show that Jehovah loves you?" The more you motivate your student to think about Jehovah, the more he will see what a wonderful Father we have. That, in turn, will help your student want to please Jehovah. Keep improving your art of teaching.
Paragraph 15, question. What can you do to keep improving in your art of teaching?
You can ask Jehovah in prayer to help you analyze your art of teaching to see where you can improve. Working in harmony with your prayers, you can take to heart the training that Jehovah gives at congregation meetings. You can invite capable teachers to go with you on your Bible study. Then ask for feedback. Remember, too, that although you are familiar with the material, your student is not. Try to look at the material through his eyes. Then help your student to realize that our message is truly good news. It can move him to have a close friendship with Jehovah and can bring him genuine happiness.
Paragraph 16, question. How will we benefit if we keep improving our art of teaching?
Teaching others about Jehovah is one of the greatest joys we can experience. The joyful work of teaching will be much needed in the future new world. Let us continue, then, to care about our listeners, to rely on God's Word, and to focus on Jehovah as we preach the good news. By doing so, we can improve our art of teaching in the ministry. How can you show that you care about your listeners? Rely on God's Word. Focus on Jehovah. Song 65, Move Ahead. End of article.